Today is Monday, July the 21st, and you're listening to the World Socialist website. Stop the escalating genocide in Gaza by the WSWS editorial board. Israel is escalating its genocide in Gaza, unleashing a daily onslaught of killing against a defenseless population. One horrific atrocity follows another, as the Netanyahu government, with the full backing of the imperialist powers, accelerates its efforts to starve, terrorize, and annihilate the Palestinian people. On Sunday, at least 115 Palestinians were killed, including 92 in two separate massacres targeting crowds seeking humanitarian aid. The Euromed Human Rights Monitor reported that in one of these massacres, 67 people were killed in northern Gaza. It reported the occupation army ordered the civilians to approach aid trucks with their hands raised, a clear sign of surrender, and then opened fire on them without provocation. Amidst talks of a supposed ceasefire, the massacres are unrelenting. They included, over the past 10 days, on July 10th, an Israeli strike on a civilian area outside Project Hope's health clinic in Deir al-Balah killed 15 people, including 9 children and 4 women, and injured 30 others. On July 11th, an Israeli airstrike killed 3 people and injured several more at Gaza's only Catholic church. On July 11th, 10 Palestinians were killed and 60 injured near a food distribution site in northwestern Rafah. The next day, 31 of 132 wounded received at the Red Cross Field Hospital died from their injuries. Between July 10th and 13th, at least 4 journalists were killed in separate Israeli attacks, including one targeted while checking on his home and another along with his pregnant wife and 3 children in an internally displaced person's tent. On July 14th, an Israeli strike on a residential building sheltering displaced people in Tal al-Hawa killed 12 Palestinians, mostly women and children, and injured 30 more. On July 16th, 21 people were killed, including 15 from suffocation and stampede at a militarized aid distribution site in southern Khan Yunis. Israel and the US have created an entity known as the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the GHF, which has constructed aid corridors that are in reality killing fields, deliberately constructed zones of entrapment, monitored and targeted by Israeli drones and snipers. Nearly 1,000 aid seekers have been killed and more than 6,000 wounded at the sites since the end of May. The massacre of aid seekers is directly connected to a deliberate campaign of starvation. Gaza's health ministry reported that 18 people died of starvation within a 24-hour period, reflecting a sharp intensification of hunger under Israel's near-total blockade of food, water, and electricity. Over the weekend, Israel also announced a new ground offensive in central Gaza and issued fresh evacuation orders. The Israeli government is carrying out a plan to force the population of Gaza into a vast concentration camp over the ruins of Rafah, in preparation for their eventual expulsion to other countries. The Israeli state is a criminal enterprise, and this is increasingly how it is seen by workers and youth around the world. The genocide is the culmination of Zionism's reactionary logic, founded on the premise of creating a religious exclusive state through the displacement of the Palestinian population. Zionism has reached its terminal stage, a final solution to the Palestinian problem. The Gaza genocide has triggered an enormous outpouring of global opposition. Millions have taken part in mass protests over the 21 months up until now. However, these demonstrations, while expressing deeply felt and legitimate moral outrage, have lacked a clear political perspective. Certain critical conclusions must now be drawn. First, the fight against the genocide is inseparable from the fight against imperialism. The genocide in Gaza cannot be understood in isolation. It is a component part of an expanding global imperialist war and the endless crossing of red lines. In the Middle East, the US and Israel bombed Iran in June. While Israel carried out new missile strikes on Syria just last week. Also last week, the Trump administration announced it would resume massive arms shipments to Ukraine, deepening the now three-year-old US-NATO war against Russia. In the Pacific, nearly 40,000 troops from the US, Australia, and 17 other countries have launched the largest ever joint military exercises across the Australian continent in a dress rehearsal for war against China. The same imperialist powers that launched wars against Iraq, Yugoslavia, and other countries on the basis of false and lying claims of ethnic cleansing or weapons of mass destruction are now fully backing Israel as it openly carries out genocide and ethnic cleansing in Gaza. The imperialists legitimize every war crime because it sets a precedent for even greater crimes in the future, including the use of nuclear weapons. And they support the genocide because it is central to their strategy for reshaping the Middle East as a critical theatre in their broader plans for global war. As German Chancellor Friedrich Merz bluntly admitted last month, in relation to the bombing of Iran, Israel is carrying out their dirty work. Second, the fight against imperialism must be based on the working class, the great revolutionary force in society. The global war being waged by the imperialist powers is inseparably connected to a war on the working class in every country. These same governments are carrying out a ferocious assault on the social rights and living standards of workers at home, slashing wages, gutting public services, dismantling social programs, and imposing wave after wave of layoffs and austerity. This social counter-revolution has now entered a new stage. In the United States, the Trump administration is moving systematically to dismantle public education and to destroy what remains of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Every major capitalist power is following a similar course, responding to the deepening crisis of the system by seeking to impose the full burden of militarism and economic breakdown onto the backs of the working class. The only way to end the genocide and the broader war of which it is a part is through the massive expansion of the class struggle in every country. It is a fundamental premise of Marxism that the fight against war must be a war against one's own ruling class. Amidst unprecedented levels of social inequality, millions of workers are seeking to enter into struggle and break free from the control of the corporatist, nationalist, and pro-war trade union bureaucracies. Third, the fight against war must be developed as an international movement against capitalism and for socialism. The genocide in Gaza is the product of a global system that subordinates all human needs to the profit interests of the financial oligarchy. A new strategy is needed. One that bases the fight against the Gaza genocide on the industrial and political mobilisation of the international working class. Workers all over the world are being drawn into struggle against the same ruling class that is sponsoring mass murder in Gaza. The World Socialist website, the International Committee of the Fourth International, and its affiliated socialist equality parties call for the building of a new anti-war movement based on international socialism. It must be anti-capitalist and socialist, fighting to abolish the dictatorship of finance capital, put an end to the profit system that is the root cause of war. It must be completely independent of all capitalist parties and their political agents. And it must be international, uniting workers in every country in a common struggle to put an end to the imperialist system. We urge all workers and young people who agree with this program to take up this fight. Trump twists and turns over Epstein investigation by Patrick Martin. More evidence is coming to light of the desperate efforts by the Trump White House to suppress any investigation into the connections between Trump and convicted sex trafficker and billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein. The Associated Press reported Saturday that Vice President J.D. Vance travelled to Montana last Tuesday for a meeting with media billionaire Rupert Murdoch, his son Lachlan, who heads both Fox News and News Corp, and executives of Fox News, the right-wing cable network that has been a political mainstay for Trump's fascist MAGA political movement. Vance reportedly arrived in Butte, Montana, near the Murdoch family estate in Dillon, around 2:30 p.m. local time, or 5:30 eastern time. He left a few hours later, according to flight records for the movements of Air Force Two, his official plane. This means that Vance was meeting the Murdochs and their top aides just as the Wall Street Journal, the flagship of News Corp, was preparing a major expose on Trump's links to Epstein. That same evening, Journal reporters spoke with Trump directly about their story, which revealed that Trump contributed a salacious letter and drawing to a 50th birthday book for Epstein that was compiled by his then partner and accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell. Maxwell is now serving a 20-year prison term for her role in facilitating Epstein's trafficking of underage girls to powerful and wealthy men. There is little doubt that Vance was dispatched by Trump to make a final plea to the Murdochs to block the publication of the damning report. When this failed, Trump threatened the Journal reporters over the phone that he would sue the newspaper and seek to put it out of business. After the report was posted on the Journal's website Thursday evening, Trump's lawyers then filed a suit Friday seeking $10 billion in damages. The Associated Press report follows the revelation Friday by Democratic Senate Minority Whip Richard Durbin that hundreds of FBI employees were assigned to review the Bureau's massive files on the Epstein investigation, searching for any mention of Trump. In letters to Attorney General Pam Bondi, FBI Director Cash Patel, and Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino, Durbin wrote, quote, "According to information my office received, the FBI was pressured to put approximately 1,000 personnel in its Information Management Division, IMD, on 24-hour shifts to review approximately 100,000 Epstein-related records in order to produce more documents that could then be released on an arbitrarily short deadline. This effort, which reportedly took place from March 14th through to the end of March, was haphazardly supplemented by hundreds of FBI New York field office personnel, many of whom lacked the expertise to identify statutorily protected information regarding child victims and child witnesses or properly handle FOIA requests. My office was told that these personnel were instructed to flag any records in which President Trump was mentioned." Unquote. Note the timing of this review. It followed only weeks after Bondi's declaration on Fox News that Epstein's client list was on her desk for review. Last week, after the Justice Department issued a statement declaring that there was no client list, Bondi tried to walk back her earlier statement, saying that she was referring to the Epstein file as a whole, not a list of customers for Epstein's sex trafficking operation, which abused at least 1,000 girls. The Justice Department statement also claimed that Epstein's death in prison in August 2019 was undoubtedly a suicide, and that the department had no further information to make public on the case, even though not a single perpetrator of sexual abuse of minors has been prosecuted, other than Maxwell, whose main role was as a procurer and supplier. The attempt to put an end to the Epstein case has had an explosive effect, at least initially, in Trump's fascist milieu. Trump issued a series of diatribes on social media, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, denouncing his own supporters for demanding greater transparency on the Epstein case. His most absurd claim was that the Epstein files had been created by Obama, Clinton, Biden, and other Democrats, although he and his fascist acolytes have been peddling the opposite story, that Clinton and the Democrats were the principal clientele, being serviced by Epstein for a number of years. In the end, the most damaging and persuasive material may be uncovered through the investigation into Epstein's financial affairs, which were extensive and connected him to many of the most powerful US financial institutions and an array of billionaires. Epstein made his own fortune managing the personal wealth of Leslie Wexner, founder-owner of The Limited, a giant holding company for clothing stores and lines like Victoria's Secret. According to Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, quote, Treasury's Epstein file details 4,725 wire transfers adding up to nearly $1.1 billion flowing in and out of just one of Epstein's bank accounts. If you ask me, that's 4,725 potential lines of investigation right there. Hundreds of millions more flowed through other accounts. That's even more to investigate. The file shows Epstein used multiple Russian banks, which are now under sanctions, to process payments related to sex trafficking. Again, these are all potential leads the Department of Justice ought to be digging into. This is about years and years of international sex trafficking. None of this is a hoax. None of it is a scam. It's insulting to the intelligence of the American people when Trump and Bondi say there's nothing here to investigate. Unquote. According to an initial account by the New York Times, Senate investigators found that after Epstein's second arrest on sex trafficking charges in July 2019, filings by four big banks flagged more than $1.5 billion in transactions, including thousands of wire transfers for the purchase and sale of artwork for rich friends, fees paid to Mr. Epstein by wealthy individuals, and payments to numerous women. A few transactions red flagged were for as much as $100 million. The Times identified the banks as JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Bank of New York Mellon, and Deutsche Bank. It is significant that the Biden administration did nothing to pursue the Epstein issue during its 4 years in office. This demonstrates the bipartisan desire to cover up the extent of the sex trafficking operation and protect the hundreds of members of the financial oligarchy who were implicated as Epstein's clients and the abusers of the young girls he made available to them. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.